Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Been a while, Matt. Been a while.
Oh, yeah.
It has been. I feel like I've not seen you in so long because we recorded early our last episode.
Yes, we did it like 4 days before our usual time.
Something like that. But there was a whole another weekend in the middle of that and stuff because of that. I haven't seen you in so long.
Yeah, well, you know, I got a haircut. I trimmed the beard. I look like a completely different human being.
I know. When you first come on, I was like, someone's got Matt's login details. They're using Matt's name, but this isn't Matt.
I know. This is it. I had some time finally. So I just said, oh, I got a bread club this week. Let me get all handsome for all you New Japan and Fightful overbooked fans. So
for the, 120 Best of Super Juniors matches we've had to watch so far?
Dude, It's been rough, bro. It's been rough.
Math. Hang on. We've had, how many shows have we had? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
We've wrestled 9 matches.
7.
Right?
There's 7 matches. I don't think the English website is updated because there was a show on Sunday. So there's been 8 shows so far. We're recording on Monday, the 22nd of May. So there's been 8 shows. That's 80 matches that we, as fans, if you're watching the entire tournament, have had to watch in the space of Friday. Where the fuck is this schedule?
12th. It started the 12th, right? Last Friday night, the 12th. 2 weeks.
Yeah, it started on Friday, right? Yeah, Friday, May the 12th until Sunday, May 21st. So, like, literally 9 days, 10 days, maybe. There's been 80 matches to watch. It has been. I've got bones to pick. It's not been overly enjoyable.
Yeah, if you're tuning into the Bread Club and you're familiar with myself and Kieran, or you know either of us from wrestling or the Shining Wizards podcast, I am very busy. My job in the summer, I run a food truck, so I'm constantly busy here in the States. So I felt really good when I was home Friday or Saturday at night early enough where I could watch the first night. And I was like, fuck yeah, I got the first night under my belt.
I was the opposite.
And then it was like Sunday in the States was Mother's Day. Like, nope, no shot of that. Monday was my first day off in 2 weeks. So I had like all sorts of, you know, annoying shit that you have to catch up on. Laundry. Yeah. By the time I got to Wednesday, I was like,
dude, that was me. Like, it started on the Friday. Then you had shows Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
You had a bachelor party too, right?
I was at a bachelor party. I was on a stag do, if you're from the UK. I was up in Liverpool from Friday morning and I got back late Sunday night. So I'm already 30 matches behind. I'm already 3 shows behind. I've not been home. And then it's Monday morning. I'm back to work. I'm in the office. I'm in the office Tuesday. I'm in the office Wednesday. I'm in the office Thursday. And then there's more shows during the week. And suddenly it's not 30 matches I got to catch up on. It's 50 matches I got to catch up on. And it's just, the thing is as well, there's been some really great stuff, but it's hard to appreciate how good it is because that match was awesome. Yay, fantastic. Next day, here's another 10 matches. Oh shit, what was that match that I really enjoyed yesterday again? Because I've just watched another fucking 10.
Yeah, no, it's like I would equate it to like going to like a buffet and just continuously just stuffing your face and never getting a second to just to just breathe, enjoy what you're eating, enjoy what you're watching. Cause like, I'm sure we're in the same boat now. We're a couple days behind. So now we're just fucking watching. We're watching. Okay, let's get the next day out of the way. And you're trying to catch up and you don't have any time to just like reflect on what you've just watched. Cause now we're on to the next night.
Yeah. And it's not fun. Like it's more a chore. Like I've got to watch all of this, you know, like we want to come to, you do the Wizards podcast. I got Wrestle In, you know, we Bread Club. We want to come prepared to be able to talk our shit. We want to watch this stuff. We want to watch it because we enjoy it. But when the enjoyment turns more into a chore, like, oh shit, I've got to watch this. It's not so fun. Like I can't come here and say that there's been what my favorite matches are because there's just been so fucking many. Like, how many shows did I say there's been? Seven or eight nights? There's like 80 matches to pick from in the space of a little over a week. And I think it's unfair on the juniors as well, because the G1 would never have a schedule this tight. Like, what's the schedule like for the G1 this year? I'll bring it up. But could you imagine them doing this with the G1?
No, there's no shot. And look, we're going to talk about it later, but like, we're already seeing the ramifications of them fucking jamming everything into this tight schedule.
But the G1 is literally over a month, 2 days short of a month for, you know, the biggest heavyweight tournament of the year. And the juniors are getting crammed into like less than 2 weeks. It's totally unfair. There's certainly MVPs you can pick out, I think, and like standouts. But like, I started off writing notes about matches. Like, okay, let me do this properly so I can remember all the matches. There's a lot of shit to get in here. And, you know, there's only so many times you can say it was good, it was solid, it was fine, because that's what lots of the matches are. And, you know, I'm trying to catch up. So I'm watching stuff on 1.5 speed. I'm watching stuff on 2 speed, and it doesn't hit the same. Of course,
right,
it doesn't.
Of course. Yeah, no, I get you. And I'm just looking. I have my calendar. I have a desk calendar. I think it would have been, I think they could have done one on, one off. And I still think they would have been, there would have been time to set everything up for Dominion. Like, I think it would have worked out for them. I don't understand the scheduling.
I think as well, it's good for us to come and say this, because usually we are very New Japan positive. You know, we want to like what we want to like, of course. But if shit isn't good, we should also point it out. You know, toxic positivity is a very big thing among the wrestling community. You know, tribalism, and you know, you have to say you like it because this is, you know, the team you support, whether you're, you know, Team New Japan, whatever you might be. But yeah, I've not found any enjoyment out of this, and it makes me sad because, like, you know, Speedball Mike Bailey is incredible in this tournament, and Yo has really fucking found himself. Akira is proving, like, it's insane how much better Akira is in this Best of Super Juniors compared to last year. It's a different man entirely. It has been a really good tournament. It's just like, and there's some matches I've really loved, but other than the matches that happened Sunday, because there's not been a show since then, so I can remember those matches. Do you know what I mean? I've not had to watch another 10 matches. So I can remember Desperado and Akira going, what, almost 25 minutes in Korakuen Hall? And it being incredible. Like, Desperado had never looked more killer than he did in that match. And Akira, absolute babyface, like molten hot babyface, like refusing to tap out to numero dos, no matter. Like, and the way Desperado had locked it in, because Akira is so small compared to Desperado, the way he was fucking up Akira was tremendous.
Yeah, and the story they tell with TJP, he threw the towel in and Akira threw it out. Like, unbelievable storytelling. Just I don't want to speak ill of the United Empire, but maybe the teacher now has become the student.
It's crazy how much that team has done for Francesco Akira, like being with TJP, because TJP has been great this tournament as well. We sing his praises often. He might say stupid shit on social media. He might not be the most likable human being at times, but TJP the wrestler is undeniably fantastic.
Yeah. And, you know, to go back to your toxic positivity, like, our levels of excitement for this tournament were through the roof on our last episode. And it's, dude, it's a drain. Like, it's especially when you have life, like when you are just like, God bless those people that just can fucking watch wrestling. Oh, sometimes I am very
miss those days when I was working from home more often than I had that luxury. Lots of people don't work from home. Matt doesn't work from home. He's never had that luxury. Lots of people don't.
No, this was like, I was very transparent with you. Like, I know what has happened, but I am so far behind on this tournament. Like, I know who is and who the point leaders are. I know the results, but I'd be a fraud if I sat here and told you I've watched every single match up until this point, because I think I got to like night four and it was the weekend for me. And I was like, well, I don't know what to do. Like, I'll read the results, you know, stuff that I thought was worth checking out. Francisco Akira and El Despy, I watched, but I can't watch every fucking match. It's crazy.
Yeah, I do like as well, like, to look on the positive side, like how the variation of finishes from the same wrestlers. Like, Robbie Eagles has a new finish. He's doing this kind of Shining Wizards-esque kick that he's called Trigger. Titan is winning with the Muta Lock.
Clark has his new finisher.
Clark's got No Chaser, his new finisher. Doki's winning with a fucking Doki Chokey. He beat Leo Rush with the Italian Stretch 32. What a fucking moment that was. I've really liked the very, and like, there's every match, like, not every match, but lots of matches just have this crazy minute where everyone's just doing these incredible pinning combinations that, like, half of them I've never seen before. Like, they're really putting in the work and they deserve a lot of fucking credit, because, like, you know, there's not really anyone that I could point at and say they're having a bad tournament. Like, there's some people that are just doing fine, doing good, but there's certainly no one that's bad by any stretch of the imagination. Not even Show, Matt. Not even House of Torture's Show.
I mean, look, the stuff I saw the stuff with him and Evil. So I was like, I got to see what the fuck's going on here. I mean, if you're, without looking at the points leaderboard, like, you know, there's a couple surprises at the bottom, but yeah, you're right, man. Everybody has really, like, they got their fucking working boots on and they are providing great, great matches. It's just,
I do like the Show stuff as well, because they could have just done Evil Interference every match and that'd be it. But every night they've done something different. They've been really creative with it. And it's impressive how creative they've been. Like, how are they coming up with this many fucking ideas? Like, Evil pretending to be TJP's corner man and coming out with a United Empire towel over his shoulder. And the lights going out and Evil pretending to be the special guest referee and calling it down the middle for a few minutes. And, you know, the Bullet Club one with Taiji Ishimori. Like, oh no, we'll both get counted out. We'll both take a point. And Evil raises both their hands to say, yeah, we're going to win together. And then let's Show go. Show runs off to the ring to make the count, and he holds on to Ishimori. They've been really good this tournament, Show and Evil. They've been like really a breath of fresh air during this.
Yeah, I think that someone, you have to be aware of what you've done, and right, like, clearly they know everybody hates the fucking house.
Some of the boos they're getting are tremendous. Like, it's working so much better. This is the most enjoyable House Torch has probably been.
Yeah, but the creativity is there, and it's fun to watch. I don't know how I feel about Sirius Taguchi.
I like the thing is as well, if he was doing the ha-ha funny stuff, it gets boring very quickly. And I like that he is doing the serious, because the Speedwall match was amazing.
Yep.
The Korakuen crowd was going nuts. Have you seen the picture that Speedball retweeted where he's doing, he's just kicking Taguchi in the face, but literally, like, Taguchi's nose is going into his cheeks. It's gruesome, because obviously barefoot Speedball as well. It's a fantastic photo. But that match was amazing. I don't think he's necessarily had any other standout matches, but that Speedball one is one that I can remember fondly. But yeah, he's rock bottom with 0 points. But in a way, he doesn't need to be winning. Like, you know.
No, not at all. It's just, I'm surprised to see him and Kushida down at the bottom.
Kushida's the shock. He went so long without getting a win. One match, again, I can remember funny, is the opening night against Doki. The crowd were molten hot for Doki, and Kushida really reminded me of Tanahashi in that he just lent into the heelness straight away. He was like, this crowd loves Doki. They fucking want Doki to win. I'm going to be a prick. And Kushida was the junior ace. He just very much reminded me, like, he is, for all intents and purposes, Kushida's a junior Tanahashi.
Right. But stupid vest in your fucking stupid watch.
Leave Kushida alone. How can you not like Back to the Future, bro?
I do like that. Love Back to the Future.
So how can you not like Kushida?
I didn't say I didn't like him. I just said the vest and the watch is stupid.
He can't. So is Marty McFly's vest stupid?
Is his vest stupid? I mean, that was the style in the 80s.
What, life preserves?
Look, Marty McFly's got bigger fish to fry in fucking 2023, all right? He's lucky if he could hold a frying pan.
I actually watched that documentary last night, funnily enough.
Oh, there's a documentary. I started the Conor McGregor one on Netflix yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's on Apple TV. It's called Still, S-T-I-L-L, and it's about Michael J. Fox, yeah, and Parkinson's and dealing with it and how he hid it for 7 years and all that stuff. It's interesting.
I bet it is. It sounds interesting. Sounds like right in my wheelhouse. I love a good documentary.
It was really good. But I think, like, okay, I'm going to throw a name at you.
All right.
Dan Maloney.
Dude, he's a fucking nuisance. I know nothing about Dan Maloney, but I saw him come out on night one, and I was like, I fucking love this guy. He looks like a fucking problem. I'm all in on Dan Maloney.
I think he's been really hit and miss for me. Like, I think commentary said on Sunday maybe he's got a separated shoulder or something.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long he's been working, if he's during the tournament he's had that, or if it's legit or not. Obviously, commentary could just be leaning into it. But yeah, he's just... Look, I love that. I was so excited for Dan Maloney. I've watched him in the UK for years. You know, Will Ospreay's a big fan of his, obviously. It's why he's part of United Empire. He's just not really done it for me. I think he maybe needs to get his feet under him. This is his first tour. And, you know, it could be like Francesco Akira didn't overly impress when he made his debut during Best of Super Juniors tournament. And look at him a year later. But he, you know, Dan Maloney's fingers just chops basically at the moment. Although that finish to Robbie Eagles on Sunday into the Driller Killer was fantastic. That's maybe the finish of the tournament.
I saw that. I mean, look, I watched this first night with Bushi. I mean, the dude just looks like a fucking problem. Like, and I don't know how the rest of his tour has been, you know, because I haven't, like I said, I probably got to night four, but I saw the finish with the Robbie Eagles. I thought that was great. I think he's a great addition to the United Empire. I mean, I'm big fan, and I didn't know he was in NXT UK or any of that nonsense. I had to do some research when I saw him come out.
Yeah, I think he got let go, I want to say, but it was when, yeah, obviously the UK pillaged. The UK pillaged, WWE pillaged the UK and stuff like that. But yeah, he's been a long time guy on the indies. He's always hit hard and stuff. It's been his whole shtick. But yeah, I mean, we've got, at the time recording, we've got two nights left, and it's going to be five block nights, thank God. Rather than 10 matches, five blocks every night. And then we've got the semifinals Friday and then the finals Sunday. So, you know, there's only one match left for each competitor. By the time this goes up, maybe we'll know who's winning from the A block, who's the finalist and the top two. But at the moment, it seems you've got your choices are Lio Rush, Hiromu Takahashi, or Mike Bailey. T-Tan, you can throw in there as well, because he's on 10 points. Taiji Shimori, unfortunately injured, which we need to talk about. But yeah, so you've got Lio Rush, Hiromu, T-Tan, or Mike Bailey. Two of those four men will be your top two at A block. Who are you picking, Matt?
Oh, man.
And we should actually get the schedule of the event. So the order of the matches, sorry. So Hiromu and T-Tan are main eventing, and Lio Rush and Mike Bailey are in the semi-main. So your four possible... Damn, Lio Rush and Mike Bailey is just a straight... I think both of them are just a straight... Whoever wins the matches, they're through. No.
Yeah, right? What is...
No, because if T-Tan wins, he'll get to 12, and he would be on the same as either Lio Rush or Mike Bailey, so then it would come down to a tiebreaker. I'm not getting into all this math.
No, T-Tan beat Lio.
Did he?
Yeah, so T-Tan's got that.
T-Tan beat... Yeah. T-Tan can definitely qualify. Hiromu should not be making the semifinals. Like, he doesn't need to be doing that at all.
He's lost to Lio and Mike Bailey. So,
yeah, I mean, if Hiromu beats T-Tan, it's as simple as Hiromu's in the semifinals. But let's give let's put T-Tan there. Let's put Lio Rush there. Let's put Speedball Mike Bailey there.
Yeah, I'll take. Lio's had a very and I've been very vocal about my dislike for his outside the ring stuff, but I've been very impressed with Lio Rush during the few matches I've seen.
I feel like he's finally found his home, right? Yeah. Like, he seems to really love it there. Like, the crowd love him as well. it's hopefully this is where he finally feels like he belongs, because he has been one of the highlights of the tournament for sure.
But man, I like Mike Bailey too.
Mike Bailey has killed it.
Oh, he's been such a treat. I didn't. The end of the first night, he does the promo in like fucking five languages. What a guy!
Oh yeah, instant sensation. He's so fucking good. Like, love him to pieces and everything. I was gonna wear. I'll show you the shirt I was gonna wear, Matt, but I couldn't. I can't pull it off.
Dude, you could pull that off.
Look at this.
You can 100% pull that off.
I wanted to represent the boy Speedball. There's a story there as well. So I know Speedball casually, like, because we went.
Oh, dude, of course you do.
We went for a Nando's, didn't we? We went and got some chicken and we went and got a kebab after a Rev Pro show. And he was back.
Name dropping son of a bitch.
He was back and Hazel wanted to get the shirt. So I got her the shirt and she never wore it. She's never once worn this shirt and I got it for her. But the money went in Speedball's pocket. So that's okay. But no, I wanted to represent Speedball during this podcast, but there's no way I can't wear it.
You don't think you could pull it off?
I can't pull it off, Matt. I had it on and then I set up my camera and I saw myself on the camera and I was like, nope.
You just got to go for it. I do it every week. I just fucking look at myself in the camera and I'm like, all right, whatever.
Went with the safe Alex Coughlin, the thing version, Android, the thing mock-up instead.
All right, I'm going Leo and Teton.
Yeah, I agree. I feel, yeah, like Teton should beat Hiromu 100%. And then it's either going to be Leo or Mike. Mike is an impact boy as well. At the end of the day, you're kind of going to take care of your own, but he can make the semis and still he can make the finals for, in all honesty, Speedball. I wouldn't be good. The good thing is, we're kind of happy either way here. Because Leo Rush and Mike Bailey have been arguably the two best of A block, I would say.
Oh, without a doubt.
And then in B block, we've got Despy, Yo, Master Watto all at 12 and Robbie Eagles at 10. I don't know if Robbie Eagles can make the final or not.
He's got a win over Master Watto.
But then, so on the final night of B Block, Yo is facing Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Master Watto is facing Kevin Knight, and El Desperado is facing Robbie Eagles. Yo has been fantastic this tournament.
Oh, sorry, let me correct that. He's got a win over Yo. He's got a loss to Master Watto, Robbie Eagles.
Yes, I remember Watto beating Eagles. But Yo has been fantastic this tournament. I've always liked him, and he's just been, I could never tell you what, but he's just been missing something. Like, he just needed that switch to click. And Leo Rush really helped that. Their tag team was amazing. But this singles run for Yo in this tournament, I wouldn't be upset if Yo won the tournament and went on to be champion.
Man, when we started this show 23 episodes ago, this is episode 23. If I told you 23 episodes ago that I would be rooting for Master Watto and best of 30, you would tell me I'm full of shit. But I can't not root for Despy. Like, this is the only thing Despy hasn't checked off on his list, right?
It's, yeah. We said it before. I just don't necessarily want to see Despy versus Hiromu again, but Despy has been so good during this tournament. Like, the thing where he's from.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bring someone through to chairs and then he does a big strike and all the crowd joins in. It's fantastic. His match against Clark was great. They just beat the shit out of each other. That match against Francesco Akira, probably arguably the match of the tournament. He is so fucking good. It's crazy because he wears a mask, but he's probably the most expressive fucking person on the roster. Like, the facials he does, and like, I think he'd done something, I don't know what, and he just stood there and like stared, and he knew the camera was looking at him, and he just stared for a while, and like, he's just such a fucking smart guy. Like, he really knows what he's doing. Like, there's no wasted action with him.
It is remarkable to look back at where he was before he got hurt, when he was the guy taking all the pins in Suzuki,
yeah, Doom,
to when he came back fucking diesel as a motherfucker, and as really just turned his whole career around, not just the Super Juniors. He did the death match with Jun Kasai. That match with Hiromu where he ripped off half. What was Hiromu, right? Where he ripped off half his mask. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just done the stuff with John Moxley. He's done exceptional things. I wouldn't be mad with anyone from A or B, to be honest with you, winning it. I don't want Hiromu. The only person I'd be upset about is Hiromu. I don't want him to.
Hiromu should be far away. We don't need him in the semifinals either. He's the champion. He's won it enough times. Let's give someone else the little bit of a rub, you know. Making a semifinals is a big deal. Just looking on our comments for our last episode, Scott George, his picks are kind of in the bin, Matt. He said he was going for a Kushida versus Clark finals, with Kushida winning in his return to Japan. And at the time of recording, Kushida's got a whopping 2 wins. So maybe don't go to Scott George if you're planning to place any bets on wrestling in the future, guys. Julian has done much better with his picks. He's gone Hiromu and Leo to win A block, so he could be spot on there. They could win the A block,
yeah.
And B block, he said Despy and Yo. So it could be, this could be Gedo. Julian might be the secret Gedo listener that we've had all the time, because Gedo clearly listens to us. We know that.
Does he?
Yeah, of course. Like, he's always taking on board everything we say. Look how, you know, you didn't like Master Watto, and now Master Watto's great. You didn't like House of Torture, and now they're really fun and creative. He's all listening, right, to you, man.
Pump the brakes on the House of Torture stuff.
But yeah, Julian's spot on. And then Hayden went Kushida and Leo Rush for A block. He's halfway there. B block, Desperado and Clark. So again, half ain't bad. You know?
We should have written down our picks to see where we were.
I said whoever wins, definitely. Whoever wins is definitely who I picked.
I drank Kevin Kelly's Kool-Aid, and I was all in on Doki.
Oh man, he's had a good tournament, to be fair. The audience loves him. But yeah, that's, you know, if a few days left of it now, it's more digestible. The finals on Sunday. Yeah, it's like I said, there's been a lot to love, but there's been a lot to loathe. If someone had just said, given you a cherry picked the list of these are the matches you need to watch, then you probably had a tremendous time with this tournament.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a slog. If you're not up at 4 a.m. every day here in the States, or, you know, 9 a.m. your time or what, like, it's a lot, man. Every day there's a show. Like, they could have spaced it out. Even if they gave it a day in between, day on, day off, at least let people catch up, digest, whatever. Give it a second for, you know, people on social media to boast about. This is a match you need to see, because you're just fucking rolling, and you throw in AEW and WWE and Impact and whatever other Rev Pro, whatever other promotions are running. You know, Best of the Super Juniors might fall to the wayside for somebody who doesn't have their finger on the pulse of New Japan.
Yeah, 100%. And we briefly mentioned it as well, but Taiji Ishimori unfortunately injured in his match versus Hiromu at Korakuen Hall on Sunday. New Japan today, I think, reporting that he's got what is it? I'm sure it says it on here.
Vertebrae injury.
Yes, an injury to his cervical vertebrae. He's discharged. He's able to recuperate at home. He's comfortable and he's moving normally, but he's not got a timetable for his return. So his final match against TJP, he has to forfeit. It was really, you know, it's never nice to see, of course. And especially because he is so fucking good, Ishimori, with the right opponent, if he just wants to go. Like, I was looking at some clips today of him back in Best of Super Juniors past, like him against Dragon Lee. Jesus, man. I miss Dragon Lee. Fucking, the pandemic fucked us when it comes to Dragon Lee in New Japan.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was, you never want to see somebody get hurt, right?
No, it's rough. It's rough. You may want to see Evil get hurt, but
I don't like in the story hurt, not like real life. Like, I'll pull back the curtain a little bit. I really don't wish harm on any of these guys. I'm just having fun. But you never like to see that, especially because he could have been in the mix. If he's healthy and he beats TJP, he's right there.
He easily could have been semifinalist. Yeah, 100%. If he won that match against TJP, but you did. Speaking of all these match shows, you couldn't watch live because time difference and work life. You did get to watch Resurgence live last night, right?
I did. I put down my 9,000 yen because I'm a baller.
9,000 yen, was that how much it was?
I think it came out to like fucking $22.
Okay, that's not 9,000 yen. Jesus, I was about to say that's expensive.
I thought it was. Was it 900 yen?
No, it's not 900 yen either. There's no way it could be 9,000. That's like not shy of £50 English.
All right, let's see. What is $22.30 American in yen? Oh, it's 3,087 yen.
Okay, that made 4 cents. So almost a third.
I don't know, dude. It was a long day yesterday. Look, I had to fight. I was fighting to stay. I was up. I mean, I don't know if you realized it when you sent me a message yesterday and I responded. It was like 6:45 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm always conscious of that when like SP3, who I do Ace Techers with, seems to respond at the most bizarre times. I'm like, what are you people doing awake?
Yeah, I was getting ready to do the fucking farmer's market with the food truck, man. Like, I was up early yesterday, so but I was fucking pumped. I was like, my wife's got the new Zelda game. So she is fucking preoccupied.
Let's get your wife on the podcast. You can go for the second half, Matt. I'll talk Zelda with your wife.
My wife has her legs. She has two sleeves. They're both Zelda themes.
Oh, really? Wow.
Oh, yes. That's her. Zelda is her shit.
I'm not that big into Zelda at all, but this new game is crazy.
Yeah, she's got a brand new job where she's the general manager of a new restaurant. So, like, she has had very little time to play. So every night when she comes home, I'm like, I'll make dinner, go get changed, get out of your work clothes. I'm like, after we eat, you can get in some Zelda time. So she came home yesterday, and I was like, hey, I invited some people over to watch wrestling. I figured you don't care because you're going to go play Zelda. You're absolutely right.
Win-win, everyone wins.
That's it. She's like, do I have to entertain? I'm like, you know, I've never asked you once to entertain. Just go up to the bedroom or go out on the sun porch. Go wherever you want. Play your fucking game.
Oh, what a result. But this show, like, I watched it when I could. I watched it on the train to work. I watched it a little bit in the office. I watched it on my lunch break and I watched it on the train home from work so that I could be up to date for recording. I think I skipped maybe two matches and that was it.
So the pre-show... Look, to give you an idea, if you have not watched New Japan's Resurgence yet, the card was so stacked that fucking Alex Coghlan and Christopher Daniels were on the pre-show.
Yeah, I didn't watch the DKC Bateman match. I did watch Alex Coghlan versus Christopher Daniels. Shock horror, I'm wearing an Alex Coghlan shirt.
I don't understand why they do doors so close to showtime. Because I watched the DKC Bateman match.
It was empty.
There's no lack of people being there. Like, when I went to Philly and DC, they did the same thing. Like, 95% of the people, the minute they get in the door, they go to the fucking merch stand.
Yeah, of course.
Right? So starting these, like, it started on NJPW World, and I was like, I like Bateman. I like the Bateman character. I'm a big fan of him from Ring of Honor and what he's done in Strong, the Stray Dog Army. Like, I'm a fan. He's a unique individual. I felt he comes out, there's like fucking three people in the screen, and one of them is the referee. And then the TKC, who's been doing great things. Like, I just feel bad for these fucking guys. I don't know why they do it so close to the doors.
It wasn't much better for Alex Coghlan and Christopher Daniels either. It's not like people had suddenly flooded in. But the Alex Coghlan Christopher Daniels match was pretty good. Look, Christopher Daniels is obviously a legend. He's been around forever. I feel like he kind of moves in slow motion now, which is crazy because obviously, you know, you think back to TNA X Division days and he's one of the best high flyers in the world. Obviously, he's an older gentleman now. He's been around forever. He's an absolute legend and veteran. But just watching that match, he just seems like he moves in slow motion a little bit.
I mean, he's like fucking over 50, right?
Oh, I know, 100%. Like, but the match was fine. You know, it's more another win under Alex's plate because we're getting Alex Coghlan versus... Oh, yeah, I was wrong. I got to hold up my hands here. I was said on this show, though, how we was going to get Shibata versus Alex Coghlan at Resurgence. I was clearly wrong. Things change. I apologize. But we're getting that at Ring of Honor. We're getting the match. That's the most important thing. I can't fucking wait for that, man.
This week. This Wednesday. This Thursday, right?
June 1st, I think it is.
They were talking about it being this week on commentary. Oh, but, bro.
Yeah, no, June 1st, next Wednesday. Next Thursday.
I mean, no disrespect. Kozlov's got to fucking go, bro. Sorry.
Do you know what? This is probably the most I've enjoyed Kozlov on commentary.
Really?
There was some funny shit. I wish I could remember, but there was some funny stuff between the three of them.
I never went back and watched Philly and DC because I went to those shows.
Yeah.
Right. And my memory on Battle in the Valley is a little foggy. Like I was like, this fucking guy's got, they either got to turn his, first of all, I couldn't hear him.
So I was like, yeah, this value is still awful. Out. Yeah.
And then him and, I mean, look, I like Ian Riccaboni too, but even like, we'll get to, he called Mercedes the first ever IWGP World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, I thought he did. I wasn't going to rewind on my phone. I was like, did he really just say that?
I thought Vader did an unbelievable job, but Alex Kozlov was just, he either, his role is to play the idiot in the group, or he just doesn't know the fucking product.
He's the idiot heel. Like, he's more heel than like the heel commentator than idiot. But I feel like it's kind of by proxy just because of the way he is on commentary. But I think he has improved loads when you consider how awful he was at first when Strong became a thing. But yeah, this was potentially, like, I chuckled to myself a few times on commentary, listening to the commentary.
There's such a gap because they're not doing Strong weekly. They are, but I mean, they're not doing the tapings. If you didn't pay for Resurgence, you're going to see this show on Strong.
There's moves they don't necessarily know the names of, that they'll call a different name and stuff, even though it's got a wrestler specific name and things. Which is just, it's like you said, they're not doing it weekly. They're not, you know, they're doing it monthly at best if they're lucky.
Yeah. So my recall for Kozlov is what. In that moment, in my recliner, I was like, this fucking guy.
I skipped the Bad Butito, Zack Sabre versus Barbaro Cavanaro and Virus match.
Dude.
For time's sake.
Understandable. I guess they announced it during the pre-show. There was a change to the card. And they announced, I guess this was not originally on the card. I have no idea.
It was on the card. I think they originally had that the two women's matches would be the first two matches, and then it would be this match.
Oh, okay. So they switched it around. Dude, this match was awesome.
I did want to watch it. I just had to prioritize.
If you can find like the 15 minutes, like I don't know nothing about Virus.
Yeah. I it's like Titan, not Titan, isn't it? And it's Virus, not Virus to us.
Hey, what they were saying Virus on fucking commentary, so I'm gonna go with it because I usually butcher everybody's name for our Wrestle Kingdom preview. Dude, him and Zack Sabre Jr. had awesome exchanges, and then Barbaro and Bad Dude Tito. Dude, I hope they give Bad Dude Tito a ticket to fucking G1.
So we've said it before, he'd get so popular with the fans. Like, he just looks, he's got that big boy foreigner look, like we've said it before, like the old Dr. Death Steve Williams is the comparison we've made 100 times before. I love Bad Dude Tito. I'm all aboard the Tito train.
Dude, and him and Zach as a tag team were fantastic. And this was like, I was like, ugh, I've seen a bunch of CMLL that I really just don't like. And I was at a fucking Ring of Honor show where they brought in these CML guys and the matches were shit. And I was just like, all right. And these guys fucking tore it. What a match to start off the show. Like, definitely go back and see this because it was impressive. And there was a real surprising finish where Barbaro got Bad Dude Tito to submit. And it came out of nowhere, but this set the tone for the night. And man, they were quickly outshined by, in my opinion, and I tweeted it last night, I think this was Mercedes Moné's best match. And I think it's because of her dance partner. I know nothing about Stephanie.
I was watching this match. I was making mental notes that I need to hype the fuck out of Stephanie Vaquer when we do this recording tonight, because again, same boat, never heard of this woman until this tournament got announced. She was amazing. Incredible. I instantly big fan.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And you know, from doing this show with me, the women's wrestling kind of doesn't resonate with me. And props to Mercedes too. She showed that she could wrestle a completely different style from what we've seen since she went, you know, from WWE to New Japan. Like this Lucha Libre style, like she was on fucking point. This was from go 100 miles an hour to the point where I was like, there's no fucking shot Stephanie wins. But if it happened, I wouldn't be upset.
Oh, like, yeah.
This chick is good.
Yeah, 100%. You know what I loved about her as well? I'm sure she did at some point, but she would never just go for the blanket pinfall, just lay over your opponent and hook a leg. She always done that one where like she sat over their shoulders, hooked their legs together and then pulled back.
Yep.
I was like that was nearly every pin. And I was like, that's something so simple. Why are people always going for these stupid pins where you're not putting any pressure on their shoulders? Like, and she done that move about 4 or 5 times every pinfall. And I was like, that makes such a big difference. She's actually trying to get the fucking win. She's not just, you know, oh, I've hit a big move, I need to go for a pinfall so that a person can kick out or one or two. It made such a big difference to this match. I can't sing this woman's praises enough. I was instantly a big fan.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. From her entrance with the horns and the cape to the minute that bell rang, she was a fucking 100 miles an hour with Mercedes. And it was, in my opinion, I think it's the best Mercedes match she's had since she left the WWE. She was great stuff with Kairi at Battle in the Valley. I thought that was a really good match. The Iwatani stuff was not bad. I wish they had more time. Mm-hmm. But I think this was her best showing.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't argue with you. And then in the next match, Mercedes obviously got the win. She goes on to the finals. And then we get the second match of the Strong Women's Championship Tournament. Willow Nightingale overcoming Stardom's Momo Kogo. These were two women. I've probably watched Momo Kogo wrestle before, but I actually hadn't seen Willow Nightingale wrestle before. Very aware of her. I know she's exploded recently and big love for her. But she's great. I instantly, again, love her. And Momo Kogo had some really cool stuff, like doing the, she done like a spinning DDT where people would use, like Naito does it and he bounces off the rope, the top rope, and T-Tan does it and he does it off the middle rope. And she done it, but she put her feet through the ropes like a 619. Yeah. I've never seen that before. That was really fucking cool.
Now, this was this was another awesome match, man. Big woman, little woman. And they told a great, great, great story. I was so like, it started and they were in the ring and I'm like, I love Willow. I don't know who this fucking Momo girl is. She looks like 100 pounds soaking wet. And I was like, this just is not working for me.
It took a minute, for sure.
And then they started going, and I was like, holy shit, like, this is fantastic. This Momo, and I don't mean to say it like I'm insulting her, Momo might get the win here. Like, this was.
No, I mean, if you knew, the character of Stardom as well, she doesn't get many wins. So, you know, you're not insulting her at all there.
No, but this was another great match. I really thought we were gonna set up like Mercedes against this Momo chick, because of the Stardom tie-in Stardom
connection. Yeah,
I was thrilled to see Willow Nightingale get the win and move on. I thought all four women that they picked for this tournament, even though I wasn't familiar with two of them, they couldn't have been better picks. Like, this was the perfect four, and it was awesome. These. The first three matches of this card were fucking awesome.
Did it go a bit downhill from you then? From there for you then, Matt, saying that? Because the next match, the Juice Robinson Street Fight, and another woman rocked up, Mrs. Tony Storm.
Yeah, look, I get the story, right? I was there in D.C. and Philadelphia for those shows. I understand. The story's fantastic. This just went, you could have shaved 10 minutes off this match.
Went this so match long.
Fucking ever.
It
to
was
the point where I was like, just end the fucking match, please.
Fred Rosser, I'll go get a weapon. I'll use the weapon. Wee, big pop. Okay, I'm going to walk around the ring for a few minutes. I'll go get another weapon. I'll go back and hit him, Juice Robinson again. It was very long. Obviously, the Tony, the Toni Storm stuff was cool in her getting involved and stuff. The whole Fred Rosser kissing her thing was not so great, to say the least. It was very odd.
Yeah, and by the time we'd gotten to Toni Storm, I was like
checked out,
punched out. I did not care at all. The kissing stuff was, I mean, I get it's part of the story. It was just, and Ian continuously saying he was not comfortable with it didn't help.
Yeah,
everybody else being uncomfortable with it,
I guess. And obviously, you know, Fred Rosser is publicly gay and stuff like that, so maybe New Japan, maybe Fred himself, maybe they thought it's not so bad because they know he's not, you know, attracted to women, right, and stuff. But I don't think that makes it better. It was just a bad move all round, I think. Like, have him go to just do a move to Toni like he did, have her up on his shoulders like he's about to do a move to her, and then, you know, Juice makes the save. It was uncomfortable, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're all adults and they all probably agreed to it, and it was part something.
Oh, yeah.
There was a Fred Rosser promo said that, like, you know, if there was anyone who could make me straight, it's your wife. Like, I might kiss her. Like, I know that
line.
It was like one of his promos. And look, I'm with you, man. Toni Storm's a dime piece. But by the time we got here, I was like, when he put him in the trio with a chain around his neck, which was super innovative. I've never seen that done before. I was like, he should fucking tap and this should be over. And it wasn't over. And I was like, oh my God. Fucking, I was more entertained, Kieran, by my cat being in the window next to me, freaking out my cat outside. Like, I was so fucking punched out of this.
Oh man. I want you to carry on with this steam train you're on, this feeling you've got, and talk to me about Hikuleo versus Kenta.
Well, we can't get to Hikuleo versus Kenta before they ripped my heart out and jumped all over it when Kyle Fletcher has to come out and announce that Mark Davis is hurt and they have to relinquish both tag titles, and that the match at Dominion between Dickheads of Torture and Bishamon is going to be for both titles. Heartbreaking stuff. Yeah. I didn't
watch it. I saw the announcement when I woke up, and I didn't watch it because I knew what was going to be said. I love Aussie Open. Yeah, I don't mean this in a bad way, but I wonder if there's some type of not resentment, but just negative feeling that Carl maybe has towards Mark at this point. Like, they were meant to, they done Royal Quest 2019, challenged Gorilla's Destiny for the tag titles, lost. They was meant to be in World Tag League that year. Mark Davis gets injured, so they get delayed joining New Japan. Pandemic hits. They finally get over to Japan. World Tag League, incredible. You know, Royal Quest 2, FTR, incredible. They win the titles. Not only they win the titles, they then win the strong titles. Mark Davis gets injured again. It's, you know, I can't speak to their relationship or anything, but it fucking sucks, that situation, man. Like, they literally were on top of the tag team world.
Yeah, no, 100% it sucks, but also, when we look back at the New Japan Cup, right? Kyle Fletcher had something, right? He has something.
Like, he could run away right now. Like,
I mean, look, man, I would not be upset if I put on fucking Dynamite Wednesday night and he beats fucking Orange Cassidy for the international title. Like, I wouldn't be mad.
That's what I mean. He's on live on Dynamite, challenging for the title, like you said. He had a singles match on Ring of Honor, I think Tony Deppen or something.
Yes.
He had, you know, he's, like you said, there was something, clearly we all learned there was something from Carl Fletcher during the New Japan Cup, and he's really young. And I wonder if Tony Khan is kind of clued in on this. Like, this kid is young and he's already this fucking good. He can speak on the mic. Watch an Aussie Open backstage promo. It's 95% Carl Fletcher, 5% Mark Davis.
Yeah, every show in the States, the Washington Philly show, when Aussie Open closed out, Kyle Fletcher cut the end of the night promo both nights. Mark Davis didn't say a word.
He's great on the mic. He looks great. To be honest, there's not many big Australian wrestlers in the world. And he's super young and he's super talented. Like, if I'm Tony Khan, I'm kind of getting in Kyle Fletcher's good books, you know, and clearly he is. They've had however many matches. They defended the tag titles on Rampage straight after they won them. And now he's got this big singles match against Orange Cassidy. Like, Tony Khan is maybe being a very smart man here and planting the seeds for the future.
Well, you know, and you hope somebody in New Japan sees this as an opportunity. I would not be mad if you drop Kyle Fletcher into the junior division.
He's way too big to be a junior, man.
You think so?
Yeah. The story is, it's Kyle Fletcher. I remember when Kyle Fletcher first came to the UK and I saw Aussie Open. He was a skinny, skinny dude. And he had this awful, long, stringy hair. Like had a few pieces of it, like three strings hanging from the side of his head. And I think the story is that Liger told him, put on some weight and you'll be a big deal. Like, you can be a serious contender. Like, Liger saw something in Carl Fletcher, said to Carl Fletcher, put on some weight. And Carl Fletcher obviously took that to fucking heart because it's Jushin fucking Thunder Liger. And now we've got Carl Fletcher that we've got today.
I mean, according to Wikipedia, Kyle Fletcher and Dan Maloney both weigh 98 kilograms.
Yeah, but according to Wikipedia, Zack Sabre Jr. and Adam Cole are the same height, and we've all seen that picture. Have you seen the picture, Matt? Surely you've seen the picture.
No, I haven't.
Google Zack Sabre Jr. and Adam Cole, and it should just be a picture of them standing next to each other. And these are two men that are billed as being the same height. It should just be like
Zack Sabre Jr. towers over him.
Exactly. This is pro wrestling. Nothing's real.
You fucking dickhead.
But yeah, no, it's so heartbreaking, man. They've worked so hard, overcome so many obstacles. Davis getting injured, then the pandemic, and then they finally fucking get to Japan. They're on top of the world, and Davis suffers an injury again. It's heartbreaking. And Davis doesn't deserve to get left behind either.
No, not at all. Did they reveal what his injury was?
I don't know.
It's not on NJPW 1972.
Yeah, I've got the article open. I'm just having a quick sprint for it. Yeah, just unfortunately, Davis picked up a bump that was pretty big. I mean, we don't know how long he's out for. Maybe it's just the one, you know, he can't make this one defense or something. But
it's, Yeah, I guess that's like a New Japan thing, right? If he can't defend the title.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, man, I just what was going to happen? What was this run going to be? They had both titles, Forbidden Doors on the horizon. Like, it's devastating.
Proper yeah, no, it's fucking it sucks. It sucks a big dick.
In better news, Hikaleo versus Kenta sucked an even bigger dick, probably.
I was like, I'm fighting the good fight. I think it was my own mistake too, because I had a couple of adult beverages. And I'm like, all right, like, I know we got a six man, and then we got Ospreay Tanahashi, and then we got the women's finals. I'm like, bring me back up. And then the fucking De Hikaleo Kent, and I was like, oh, motherfucker, you gotta be kidding me. I forgot about this fucking match.
I can't
cut a promo. He said he was gonna cut his fucking hair. He didn't cut his fucking hair, he just put it up in a man bun. Get out of here.
I can't believe Kenta won back the title. What the fuck?
He won it by fucking count out too. Could it be any I was so fucking enraged.
It's just like the spot was cool once it eventually happened. Hikaleo being thrown from, you know, the stand through the table. That was fine. It's just the 10 to 15 minutes surrounding that 5 seconds. And then, yeah, like, why put the belt straight back on Kenta? Why did Hikaleo win in the first place? Is there something we don't like? You know, there was rumors of Hikaleo to WWE earlier in the year when there was the whole Loser Leaves Japan stuff. You know, maybe there's something we're not privy to. But, yeah, putting the belt back on Kenta. And then, you know, post-match, Eddie Kingston challenges Kenta for the title as well. You know, this isn't... I wonder if people get excited thinking, you know, oh, Kenta... Eddie Kingston versus another Japanese legend, you know, Kingston checking off another box. But like we've said here before, this isn't the Kenta of old. It's not going to be you know what I mean?
Look, it's for everybody to get their fucking Eddie Kingston boners and get excited. Eddie Kingston, you know, whatever. They can put the fucking New Japan Strong title on them because they're not doing it in AEW. They're not doing it in fucking Ring of Honor. Give them this fucking hunk of tin because it clearly doesn't mean fuck all.
Yeah.
And I've been very clear with my feelings about Eddie Kingston. All right. I don't forget all you fucking assholes that cheered for him when he fucking sent Jay White packing. All right. I didn't forget. I'm not fucking excited about this. I don't give a shit about Eddie Kingston in fucking 2023. He's fucking looks like he spends all his time like me eating cheeseburgers and watching fucking wrestling.
It's well, like, you know, you had this incredible first run from Tom Lawlor and then Fred Rosser for the title. And I appreciate not everyone should and can have a long run, nor should they. So Kenta losing relatively quickly to Hikuleo was great. You know, keep it, you know, something fresh. Not everyone's going to have a long run. But Hikuleo just drop it straight back at the first hurdle, man. Like, fuck my life.
Yeah, what's the fucking point, man? Let this kid run with the fucking ball. He's a tall, impressive dude who's really come into his own after the last couple of years. Like, I'd rather see fucking Hikuleo Eddie Kingston than Eddie Kingston Kenta. I'm done with Kenta.
Hikuleo and Kingston has the potential to be a good match, whereas I don't think Eddie Kingston has that potential at all. But then the star power kicks into play. You got Okada, Ishii, and Rocky Romero taking on Shota Umino, John Moxley, and Wheeler Yuta. Shota Umino just fucking gunning for Okada every chance he can get again. John Moxley reunited with Shota, you know, his two sons, people were saying him and Yuta, and Shota picking up the win over over Rocky Romero, and sowing the seeds for Dominion with Moxley making his return in a match to be confirmed.
Yeah, just don't bring fucking Wheeler Yuta with you, please.
Yeah. Just... Do you think that easily could be the team to challenge for the Never Six Man? Couldn't it? It could be them three versus. Look,
with all due respect, right? Well, I think Wheeler and Rocky were there for someone's got to take a pin, right?
Yeah,
I love 100%. Rocky Romero.
Yeah.
We're going to take Rocky out. We're going to put Tanahashi in. We need somebody of that level, right? There's only one guy. It's Brian fucking Danielson, all right? I don't want to see fucking Wheeler Yuta to show
who's,
up. At
the who's end. Taking the pin in that match then?
Give a shit. Who will fucking take that? Shooter can take the fucking pin.
That's what Wheeler's there for. That's why he's probably going to Dominion. That's why he's probably going to Japan.
Yeah, this is where fucking Okada gets his. He puts one of these unruly children. He puts it to bed. He puts him to bed.
It is a great story that they're doing. Like, he's put to bed Ren Narita. He's going to put to bed Shota Umino. And he just fucking hates these kids. There's no reason. He's just like, fuck them kids.
No, he does hate them because they're coming for his fucking spot.
He's furious. Like,
he should be.
This is like these kids walked into his school and he's just like, fuck that kid. Like,
they should be. Sonata took his belt. Suji's challenging Sonata. He's in a fucking six man. He should be miserable. He should be at a fucking all around the world stomping mud holes and fucking everybody.
There is a great comedy show waiting to be written about Kazuchika Okada just fucking hating everyone, like just like bullying people and fucking people up for no reason.
I love angry Okada. He's my favorite. He's fucking flipping people off.
Yeah, he's flipping Moxie off. And like, he got in the ring with Shota just straight away, ran the throat. It's fucking fantastic. But yeah, the match, it was good. I don't think it was anything special, but again, it's setting the groundwork for Dominion in a little over a week, just under 2 weeks. Second from last match on the card, Will Ospreay defeating Hiroshi Tanahashi, one step closer to Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega, round two.
All here for it. I love it. I thought this was good. This was only their second meeting, right?
Yeah, I think they had the G1 one back when Will Ospreay was still the junior heavyweight champion. I don't think they faced other than that. Certainly not in singles matches.
I don't think you're ever gonna hear me say anything bad about a Will Ospreay match.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it was anything that's gonna be memorable, but if you was in the crowd, you probably loved it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he beat fucking stupid with his dumb hair.
Exactly. So Matt's happy.
Well, look, and you know what? I might be one of there's, I don't know, man. I'm fucking super excited for Ospreay and Archer.
Yeah, I mean, that's what kind of set Archer on this singles trajectory was the New Japan Cup. You had Lance Archer versus Will Ospreay, and Will Ospreay got the win, and then they had the rematch at Dallas, Texas in the G1, and Lance Archer got the win, and those two matches like just made people take notice of Lance Archer as a singles wrestler after he was part of a Killer Elite squad with Davey Boy Smith Jr. for so many years.
Yeah, and I think somebody as athletic as Ospreay with somebody who's as big and as athletic as Archer is, like, this is, I think this, if you aren't familiar with that G1 match from Dallas, like, I think you're going to be very surprised. This is not a normal match, and this is going to be really fucking good, especially having Archer back in New Japan, in Japan, and Ospreay coming back since, you know, he was hurt again.
Yeah, so. It's the return for both of them. You're right. And Ospreay like works hard in that fucking ring. Like he doesn't stop at every movement, every moment, and he will sell his ass off. He will make Lance Archer look like a bigger beast than he's looked in AEW in a long time, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I'm very excited for that. And look, I thought this was a great match. Tanahashi's a legend, people. I get it. I know. All right. He's still stupid fucking hair. And his air guitar sucks. Look at
is it better than Will Ospreay's air drumming?
Those are two completely different instruments. I think air, and I don't say this lightly, but air drumming is a lot easier than air guitar.
Oh, so he's putting one win in the Tanahashi column here.
He still sucks at it, though.
Just sucks a little bit less.
I fucking air drum all the time. I'm sure I look like an idiot, but I'm just fucking pretending to hit things.
But then the main event.
He doesn't even like move his fingers. He just fucking.
Yeah, but he's the ace, man. Even Jay White paying homage.
Do with guitars, Kieran.
Jay White paying homage on AEW Dynamite. I saw that much.
I still don't like this black and gold bullshit.
I don't watch AEW. I'll have to care, man. Fucking Collision is going to be a nightmare.
Who's going to watch fucking... Come on, Saturday night? Don't be ridiculous, people. Fucking...
Main event of Resurgence. Mercedes Moné, Willow Nightingale. Ending abruptly. Mercedes Moné reportedly breaking her ankle, fracturing her ankle. The ref butchering a free count, bless him. Because obviously audible had to be called. I don't like this idea that, you know, that the rumor is the whole, you know, the scuttlebutt that Moné was meant to win and they called an audible in the ring to obviously put the belt on Willow because Mercedes knew she was fucked. I don't know that. I'd like to think that Willow was always going to win, quite frankly.
I mean, I always thought that this was Monet's to win.
Right, but that kind of makes it nice, more fun that Willow won. And
yeah, I ain't mad about it.
It's not a swerve for swerve's sake, like, oh, everyone thinks that, let's just do this for the sake of it. It makes sense. And, like, Willow will show up more than a Mercedes will. Mercedes is an attraction. Willow can be a fighting champion.
Of course. No, I'm all here. I'm all for it. I think the referee needs to, you just count it. You count to three, bro. If they don't keep out, that's on fucking them.
Yeah, it was really difficult moment for him. Obviously, the main event as well, and you know, there's probably maybe a bit of a language barrier because he was a Japanese ref. But I rewound it a couple of times, and I was like, "Did she kick out?" And I'm just not seeing it. And I was like, "Nope, that shoulder did not move a muscle
because she was not supposed to lay." You know, and look, it's a shame because from what we got from the beginning of the match and the story that they're telling, where, you know, Willow used the handshake to bring her down to the mat, like kind of like not exactly what Willow does, you know, fighting fire with fire was a lot of fun. And especially after the first two matches of the night with these ladies, like they were fucking going to go balls out and you knew they were going to go balls out and the pounce was cool. And even what she was trying to do when she hurt herself was something that I don't think you see. Like that's a risky move, right? But that's not something she does in the WWE. Like, this is Moné just going fucking balls out. And it's unfortunate that she broke her ankle the way she did, but it's not ballet, as I like to say.
She done well as well. Like, because I watched it knowing she was at some point she fucks up her ankle. And I saw a clip of when people think it happens. And, you know, she gets back in the ring. She tries to do the backcracker. Obviously, it doesn't look great. But she rolls into the what's she calling it now? The crossface. It was obviously the bank statement in WWE. But she rolls into the crossface, and obviously she's got the foot dangling off the floor and stuff, like trying to not put any pressure on it. Like, fucking kudos to her, because like to even just get up once you've done that, let alone to wrestle a few more minutes to take two of those fucking doctor bombs or whatever the name is that Willow Nightingale uses for it. And as well, you mentioned the pounce and stuff. She sold her ass off for Willow. Like, Willow ragdolled the fuck out of Mercedes, and Mercedes made her look so vicious.
Yeah, and it was, look, man, unprecedented main event. Like, for a company who, up until a couple years ago, even featured women, let alone now we have two African-American women in the main event of a major year. Like, huge, huge, huge moment. You know, and yeah, props to both girls. Like, I'm sure Mercedes did not want to have to call that audible, but, you know, we just saw fucking Kyle Fletcher relinquish the titles. Like, I'm sure. And I saw a bunch of reports today, and I don't know the truth of them because I was running around doing stupid shit around the house. But, like, she also apparently she signed, like, another deal with Bushido Road. Is that true?
Yeah, I think Meltzer maybe reported that she, again, signed another extension with Bushido Road. But, you know, as always, you got to say, I never want to take reporting too seriously. Never take it as gospel.
Yeah, take it with a grain of salt.
Exactly. It was a solid show. It delivered. It's a shame about, obviously, the Monet injury. It left a dampener on things. But yeah, Resurgence was great. Best of Super Junior still going on. Dominion will have happened by the time we record our next episode, Matt. But there's not a lot announced for Dominion. But we got to preview what we can, right?
Absolutely. I think it's starting to shape up.
Yeah, we know the tag title match has unfortunately changed. Vacant championship. Either Bishamon or House of Torture will be the new champions. It's kind of rubbish because obviously they beat Bishamon to get the title. So to put them back on Bishamon, it's kind of like, you know, taking a step back in a way. But no one obviously wants to see Yujiro Takahashi as a tag champion in the year 2020 fucking free.
Stranger things have happened. Didn't we live through a bad luck finale, Chase Owens IWGP title reign?
There is every fucking chance House of Torture win this. The thing is if they do, like, I understand, like, Bishamon have kind of faced everyone for the titles. Do you know what? Fucking Carl Fletcher should be like, I'm going to throw some other Aussie boys in there. TMDK, go get them and put the fucking belts on TMDK.
Let fucking Kyle Fletcher team with bad dude Tito.
Oh, yeah, even better, man. Keep it within the United Empire family. Yeah, I fear that we are going to be in for a House of Torture title reign. Hopefully it won't last long, but I think House of Torture are going to win the titles.
Oh man, do I have to like record me watching this match?
Just eyes taped open to make sure you're not cheating.
Rage if they fucking the IWGP tag titles.
Never open weight championship. You know what as well? So to go off a little bit. The tournaments are so great because when all these guys come back, it's like, oh, I haven't seen them in so long. I've not, you know, David Finley and El Fantasmo, by the time Dominion comes around, it's going to have been like 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, it's almost a full month.
Yeah. I mean, they might be on the finals or they might be on the semi-final shows, but it's going to be a long time, guys. But yeah, David Finley defending the NEVER Openweight Championship, his first defense against El Fantasmo at Dominion. David Finley's got to get the win for, unfortunately, as much as I love El Fantasmo.
Yeah, I can't keep David Finley's name out of my fucking mouth. When I don't know if you listened to the Bad Luck Fale interview, but I definitely... Bad Luck had some good things to say about David Finley.
He did have some good things to say. He likes that he's trying something new and he's, you know, he's going to give him a chance, Bad Luck Fale said. You got at Wizards Podcast to check out Matt's interview with Bad Luck fucking Fale.
I'll tell you what, man, there's things that will... He had such a good time. I was so heartbroken that he had shitty Wi-Fi.
Oh, man. But... You get through it.
I know we got. Look, we plowed through it, but man, I mean, what a fucking the spanking and the fucking shitting our pants and the youth. Like, he was so fucking awesome to talk to, but yeah, the Bad Luck Fale interview is on our YouTube. Just the interview itself, we clipped it, so you don't have to watch all the other nonsense that we do. But man, he was fucking great to talk to. And then your main event right now, Sonata with his second defense against the returning member of LIJ? Question mark.
Big question mark, but seemingly so.
Yota Tsuji.
Yep. Again, it's a hard one to, you know, we don't know what Yota Tsuji is going to be like in the ring. We've not seen this new Tsuji. But it's going to be interesting for sure. The fact that we discussed it in the past episode, they've a returning young lion thrust into the main event of the second biggest show of the year straight away is just incredible, unheard of.
I'm excited for it, man. I am excited for this influx of these young lions coming back, the Shooter and Ren Narita. Like, we don't know. We haven't seen hide or hair of Ren Narita since they lost the title. So is he still in strong style or what's the next play for Ren Narita?
we're gonna probably, you know, get the six man titles will be likely defended, as we discussed. Tanahashi, Okada, and Ishii likely defending Ishii against Moxley, Shota, and probably Wheeler Yuta. You've got that title to take into consideration. Hiromu is going to be defending against whoever wins the wins the Best of the Super Juniors tournament. You know, maybe Zack Sabre Jr. match is happening at Dominion, isn't it?
Him and
Zack Sabre Jr., Jeff Cobb. It's not on the schedule, but I remember them announcing that. Yeah. Could be the end of Jeff Cobb. Could be the end of Zack Sabre Jr.'s run. He got that, you know, draw against Jeff Cobb, and he's got a defense or two in the time since on Ring of Honor. I know he's doing some stuff with Samoa Joe right now.
I hope it's not the end of his run. Samoan Joseph.
Samoan Joseph.
And we'll get Archer and Ospreay.
Archer and Ospreay. You know, perhaps an IWGP Women's Championship match, Mayu Iwatani, but I don't know if anyone's lined up. You've got the Jet Setters. Kevin Lyon Kushida could be defending the junior tag titles. You know, they could be against perhaps Clark Connors and, well, no, it can't be against Clark Connors and Ishimori because Ishimori's injured. But basically, there's a lot of potential to still happen on this card. Lots of stuff definitely still to be announced. And it will be big stuff. It will be important stuff. It's the second biggest show of the year in the New Japan calendar. You've got Taichi, obviously just won the KOPW trophy title too, even. So they're going to stack this card for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it, man. Going to be a fun week now that the Best of the Super Juniors kind of slowed down. We get those two separate nights, and then we get the finals, and then it's right into Dominion, which will lead us to Forbidden Door, and then into the G1.
Yeah, and there's a lot of fun wrestling along the way as well for me. I got Rev Pro at York Hall, and Rev Pro running the Copper Box, where New Japan ran their first ever UK show. We're getting Shingo versus... I'm getting to see Shingo versus Ospreay in London, Matt.
Oh, that's the 11th anniversary show, right?
Yeah, that's insane, man. Like, you know, I all the hope in the world that Rev Pro got a... They've got to put on something special, because that's their biggest show by far. It's like five or six times the venue size they would usually ever do. It's outrageous. And then obviously it's the night before All In as well at Wembley.
Oh, exciting. That's right, All In.
It's going to be a big weekend of wrestling in the UK and London specifically, right on my doorstep.
I like it.
But yeah, I mean, you know, there has been so much wrestling, but like we said, it's hard to talk about all. Could you imagine if we went match by match for the Best of the Super Juniors?
For fucking ever.
We'd still be on night three.
Holy shit. And then they made the huge announcement they're bringing New Japan Strong over to Japan, too.
Yes. Oh, man. I love that. Those guys deserve it, man. Working in front of nobody for how long? Putting on a show where they'd wrestle once a month? Like... And I love the names that they've announced first off, that they've announced JR Kratos and Fred Rosser and West Coast Wrecking Crew. We had Royce Isaacs on the Bread Club. Big love for him. And fuck me, that man, him and Jarrell deserve to get that love from the Korakuen audience, as does JR Kratos. It's a shame it's only two shows, quite frankly. They deserve a lot more. They deserve a lot longer. But hopefully, you know, this is the start of something for them where they get over to Japan regularly, because... You know, those guys deserve it. They're doing great stuff in America. They were the heart and soul of New Japan Strong at first. They kept the ship afloat for New Japan in America.
Yeah, no, that's great. Get your foot in the door, man. This is big news for them. So they're gonna do July 4th and 5th, right?
Yeah, and Eddie Kingston's announced for it as well, isn't it? So he's a foray to Japan for Eddie. Wouldn't it be funny, like, because, you know, Eddie loves Japan, all this stuff, yada, yada, yada. And we as lots of AEW fans love how much Eddie loves Japan. Imagine if he goes to Korakuen Hall and he just gets fucking crickets. No one gives a shit.
Yeah, no, I don't think, unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, because the gift of Eddie is his talk, right? And, you know, language barrier.
Yeah, but then he's got his history for the four pillars and all that stuff. I have apparently Mark Davis had that arthroscopic knee surgery to repair a torn meniscus.
I don't know what half those words mean, but it doesn't sound nice.
He should be out six weeks or shorter.
Oh, that's not so bad then. Yeah, like he's probably was like trying to pray that he could just fucking butcher his way through and then take the time off or something, because, you know, if that comes during a G1 time, then he can probably get away with it,
right?
But yeah, no, it sucks, but hopefully they'll be back soon. But you know, I don't think they're never going to have the luxury again of being double champions like that. I don't think.
I don't know. We'll have to see. Well, they got a great response. Look, I wouldn't be mad if you know they had to run the gauntlet again and win the IWGPs and then come to the States and do it again.
That's a good point. Who they've not said anything for the strong tag titles. Who? Well, you know,
I think the match is for both titles.
No, I think Japan. Surely not. House of Torture can't fucking be.
I'm just telling you what they fucking announced, man.
No way. I'm getting up the arc again. No way, Matt. I'm
fucking no way me.
Disagreeing with you.
I watched it live, bro.
Bad news is sure. The duo couldn't promise. So they will be unable to defend the IWGP Tag Team Championships at Dominion. And he said, with no timetable for return, they can't promise a strong tag team champion defense in the near future either, and vacated both titles. And he announced that June 4th, the three-way match will now just be for both championships. God damn.
Fucking show me a little love.
I can't fathom that. House of Torture have been specifically secluded to Japan.
Wow.
Member of House of Torture has gone on these American shows.
That's even a better reason for Bishamon to win.
Bishamon, now I'm more confident that Bishamon are going to win. I think that just undermines the accomplishment for Aussie Open. It was such a big fucking deal. And now it's like, oh, you win this one match and you get them both? I'm not a fan of that. Fuck that.
Maybe it's just a device to get both belts back on them when Mark Davis is healthy.
Yeah, maybe. But still, I'm still not a fan of it. Like, those guys busted their asses to get both those titles and defended them both instantly as well. And then it's just win one match and you get both.
I mean, look, so let's just say that House of Torture.
There is an agenda against Aussie Open, Matt.
There might be. Look, also, your next strong show is in Japan, so you can still put the title belts on House of Torture.
Oh, yeah, they could lose it there. And then West Coast Wrecking Crew, baby.
Yeah, 6 weeks. I mean, West Coast Wrecking Crew, Aussie Open could be back.
You make a good point. I'm still
not happy. You could do the old, what was it, the three-way for the IC and the European title between Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho, and Kurt Angle, where Kurt Angle never, he loses both belts but never gets pinned.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's just this, especially with the shows, you're right, coming up, the strong shows in Japan. Just undermines what Aussie Open accomplished. It was such a cool moment.
Well, I mean, we can recreate another moment.
It's okay. Gato's listening, so he will change it.
Gato, can I get a fucking press pass, please? Can I go? I just want to come hang out. I don't even want to. I want to ask no questions. I promise. Kieran, I gotta ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got that big, beautiful fucking belt behind you. I got an email. I saw the price tag. Is that a real thing, bud?
It wasn't as much as that. Okay. It's massively upped on it. How much was it? It's like over $2,000, right?
$2,800.
Really?
Yes.
So what I think it is they make, like I said, they custom make all these, only however many orders they get. Because like mine literally came and had a number on it, and mine was like, you know, the box had number whatever it was on it. Right. And I got the choice of whose name I wanted to have on the nameplate. I could have whatever the fuck I wanted on the nameplate as long as it was like 20 characters or less. Right. So I went with Kazuchika Okada. So what I think with those ones on the Token Shop in America is they've obviously made more of them, but all the nameplates are blank. You can't pick a nameplate. So they're already made, I think. It's just they made extra ones, obviously, to sell after the matter, but you don't get luxury of picking your own. And also, for whatever reason, they're fucking upscaled the price big time.
I was just fucking going through my emails and I was like, oh, and at the price, I was like, this. I'm like, holy fuck balls.
I'm trying to see if I've still got the email for the price.
I mean, you're good. You have it. You're good. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah, I know, but just out of curiosity now. Here we go. Thank you for your payment. So mine was 233,000 yen, which included shipping. Now give me 2 seconds.
Do I need to do the
USD? It's cool. I got it.
I like doing it though.
Wrong way. Mine was about $1,700 ish.
Okay, so that's That's an easier pill. That's an easier pill to swallow.
So how much was it on the American website? Did you say 2,800?
28. Yeah.
So they're charging $1,000 extra for the luxury of the fact that it's already, like, you know, probably in America.
That's
and you, and you don't even get to pick your own nameplate. You're just getting a blank nameplate.
Fuck that, dude.
And dude, the shipping from Japan to the UK and the size of this box, man, the box was bigger than taller than me. I weighed a fucking ton, obviously. The shipping was 2,000 yen. Do you know, 2,000 yen, that's $15 to ship it all the way from Japan in this giant box. I bet they're charging more than that to ship it from America to America.
Now, does it, the fourth IWGP Heavyweight Championship replica belt 50th anniversary?
Yeah, 50th anniversary edition. That's exactly what I got.
There is no mention of the name on the center plate.
Yep.
They're very clear with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, I know I need to reach out to someone from a Discord channel because he collects replica belts, and he said there's someone he knows that makes the nameplates.
All right.
And I kind of like the idea of getting different nameplates and stuff because, like, you know, all you probably need is a screwdriver to get the stuff out and replace it. But
see, now the picture they have here on Shop 1972 looks like the nameplates on the side are filled in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The nameplates on the side are. That's part of the title.
Okay.
I'm going to put my mic down.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want me to make you big?
Oh, hang on. Oh, it's so difficult. Let me set my mic up properly so that you can hopefully still hear me.
You're good.
Right. Yeah, so I know I showed this off on a previous episode, but on the sides, where's the camera? There's Matt in big.
There we go.
Yeah, no, this is part of it. So, like, you know, you see Vader, Inoki, right. Choshu, yep. And there's four of them. There's two on each side. That's part of the belt, like everyone who's ever held it. But then the nameplate that you would get that's blank is that front bit that says Okada.
God, stop doing that, man. There we go.
Whereas mine says Okada, that would literally, the it would be there. They would just say nothing. It would just be anything. Whereas, yeah, mine says Okada.
Right.
And I had the luxury of getting whatever the hell I wanted there. It's not like I had to pay extra. That was included in the price.
Man, I am not a belt collector, and I am so happy I'm not.
I'm not a belt collector. That's just the one.
It's a beautiful fucking title. If I was a belt collector, I would fucking buy this, though. I know I would. I know how
I think as well, they've done it before, because I was tempted to do it before, and it was more expensive for whatever reason. And then this time, it wasn't as expensive. And I'm like, they've got a new title now. We've got the World Heavyweight Championship. Is it a matter of time before they start making these? Stop making these? Because as well, like I said, they do them made to order as well. So it's like, you know, you have a pre-order window. You have a few months to order it. And if you don't order it during that time, tough luck.
Right.
So, yeah, the credit card is still in pain. But, you know, I have it in the middle of our living room, underneath our TV, in the display cabinet. There's a nice big spot for it. And I see it all the time and it makes me happy.
There you go. And that's all that matters. You're happy.
That's all that matters. I'm happy. So Gedo, I'm not happy about House of Torture becoming double champions. So change that.
No, I'm just going to have to tune in on July 4th and 5th and to find out.
June 4th.
June. Why did I say July? I thought it was July.
Oh, no. June 4th is Dominion. July 4th and 5th is the New Japan Strong Shows in Japan.
Yeah.
So we'll see who wins the titles first, and then we'll see if they get defended in Korakuen Hall. But yeah, I think we've got it all for Bread Club. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, and I've already even hit the comments earlier. We're fucking nailing this episode.
Yeah, we will be back the day after Dominion, right?
June 4th. Yeah, goddamn. How's that for timing?
We got some kind of weird science down here where we're just fucking firing all cylinders.
We'll be back for post Dominion. And yeah, back to our regularly scheduled episodes.
Oh yeah, you know it. And you want to follow Fightful Overbooked, FightfulOverbooked.com, Fightful.com. Fightful.com, what an asshole. Fightful.com. Just throw in Fightful Overbooked into your search engine, Spotify, Pandora, wherever you listen to podcasts. We're going to pop right up and fight under the Fightful Overbooked banner. Every 2 weeks, you'll find a new episode of The Bread Club. I don't know if it did. What happens? You know what? Let me. I'm just gonna see here.
What are you gonna do? Search Bread
if
Club
you
on
search
YouTube.
Bread Club. Does it come up?
I don't know. We got a lot of contenders. Like it'd be Kojima, and then maybe us.
You know what? I'm not gonna lie to you. There's a band called Bread Club, and then I forgot, Kieran, that our episodes a week after they're on Fightful Overbooked, they're available on the Shining Wizards Network.
Oh yeah. So make sure you check out the Shining Wizards Network and at Wizards Podcast on Twitter. Give them a follow.
Up on Spotify.
Give at Wizards Podcast a follow on Twitter. New shows every Monday, 7 p.m. Often got guests. You know, Matt. In the past few months, Matt has interviewed Henare from New Japan, Balot Fale from, and I won't lie, I can't remember the guy's name. One of the New Zealand dojo guys.
Shep Alexander.
So that's three New Japan guys in the past couple of months over on the Wizards.
Yeah, we do have fun. It's not your normal wrestling interview. I'm just gonna put it like that.
It's so much better for it.
It's a lot of fun. Bad Luck Fale is the most infectious laugh. I swear to God. He was fucking laughing before we even started talking about things.
Oh man, when you got that one, I was so happy for you. That's such a fucking cool one to get.
He's a fucking blast, man. He's such a good, and he remember. So I don't want to. When we started the podcast, we had a Facebook. Before Facebook became like fucking the worst, and where we were just the Shining Wizards Podcast, and we were I fucking was sending friend requests to everybody, and there was a point where I sent Shining Wizards T-shirts to everybody in the Bullet Club. Like the Jacksons, mm-hmm. Doc and Carl, and I sent extras. Tamatanga has one, Fale has one, Yujiro Takahashi has one. There's pictures of them wearing them. Bad Luck Fale remembered us during the interview. Actually pulled up the pictures of him wearing the fucking Shining Wizards T-shirt, and it wasn't like he didn't just put it on to take a picture. Like he wore it out to like a sponsored dinner. There's a great picture of him, the Jacksons, and Anderson and Gallows, where they're all together and he's wearing it. And he remembered us. So I thought that was fucking super cool.
That's so fucking cool. That's one of the things I want to do for wrestling is get merch going. I want to make stickers, you know, so I can go to wrestling shows and give out stickers and stuff. And I want to do shirts. I wouldn't know where to fucking begin. I did look into the stickers. It was far fucking more complicated than I thought. Yeah, but I want to get some merch on the go. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was. It's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine. As it says on there, follow me on Twitter at KieranRH93. Check out WrestleIn at WrestleIN. Lots of cool shit going on. Lots of cool podcasts. We had an interview with Mal from DDT got recently. We had an interview with Totoro Satsuki from Ice Ribbon got recently. I will be speaking to Mr. Lord Gideon Gray for some Patreon exclusive content very shortly. We're going to be watching a match of his choosing. And there's definitely stuff. We've got a new Choco Pro podcast is dropping this week. Debut episode. On the Indies, a new podcast just started. We content machines over there.
Yeah, and if you were foolish enough to not listen to Kieran the last...
I updated the prices.
Look, I'm in for a buck, bro. I get the fucking Patreon updates. I got the Patreon app on my phone, and I get a notification every time there's a new Wrestle In. Right, so Into the Wrestleverse episode 64. Excuse me, Kieran is on it
multiple times a week.
It just drops Sunday morning at 5:28 a.m.
Yeah, it's a good one. I like Into the Wrestleverse. So every Sunday, me, Trent, and Libby, we get together every Sunday morning UK time. We will record and we upload it immediately after. And often it's a case of we watch the show in Japan, the show finishes, and we literally are straight on the mic after talking about it. Because some of our patrons are like, you know, I think there was a big Stardom show, the Stardom show where Mayu Iwatani beat Mercedes Moné. And like literally an hour and a half after the show finished, we had a podcast up on their Patreon talking about that. And people were like, how the fuck is that possible?
Can't beat it. And I'm a Patreon. So I already knew Kieran was ornery about this schedule because they talk about it in the Patreon special on Wrestle In.
Dude, very, Yeah, very ornery about a scheduled
season. Yeah, and I love it. I love, look, Kieran usually never gets ornery. So when he is ornery, I just feed off of it because I'm a troublemaker. But you don't know that if you're not subscribed to the Wrestling Patreon.
And the Wizards Podcast Patreon. Got to check that shit out. I'm subscribed.
You do have to check it. I am I'm doing a big project for Patreon. Where I'm going back through all of 1993 WWF, and I will be doing monthly. Ooh. Oh, yeah, I'm very excited with audio. It's going to be, I'm fucking full, all in.
Jeez, man. That is a big undertaking. Wow.
So it probably won't start till like September because I've got to get everything organized.
You got to get through the summer, busy food truck time, right?
Yeah, but I'm already fucking like, I'm so invested in this idea. Where I'm going to watch everything that I can watch that's available to me through like the network. I don't know shit about torrent sites. People have sent me there. They've tried to help me. I can post a podcast. That's about it. When we start talking, I don't have like if I want to watch something now, I want to watch it now. Right. So I'm watching all these old superstars and Monday Night Raws, and I'm like pulling audio, and it's going to be a real interesting project that I'm hoping doesn't get fucked up, but we'll see. I'm very excited
for it. Dude, it's gonna get a little fucked up because you're involved, but it's the good type of fucked up, not the bad type of fucked up, man.
I'm excited for it. I can't wait for it to start recording it.
At Wizards Podcast, at WrestleIn, INN. Write, comment, subscribe, leave the comments, and we'll get to them on our next episode. Thanks for listening to Bread Club as always, guys.
Yeah, please remember, like Kieran said, like. Thanks again to Jeremy and everyone over at Fightful Overbooked for giving us this platform to talk about New Japan professional wrestling. The summer is the best time. We're going to gear up for fucking G1. Dominion is going to be hot. We're going to go right into the G1, and then the road to Wrestle Kingdom starts, and with this Forbidden Door and this Ring of Honor and this Impact stuff, like, who knows? Who knows what's next?
I forgot. I put up a thing asking for questions on Twitter. Julian, as we mentioned on YouTube, he said, who do we see coming out at the top in the end, which we've already covered. And so did Savvy Grayson on Twitter asked, who do we think are going to win the tournament? Again, covered at the top of the show. But yeah, I'm a dumbass and forgot that I put out a tweet. So last bit to get in there before we wrap things up and I get to go watch Succession.
Oh, yeah. Kira's going to watch Succession. I'm going to change a light bulb in the garage and spray around the house for insects.
Equally exciting things we're doing.
Well, I got the Wizards tonight, too. I got, I got the honey-do list, man. And when I was late to this, I'm very frazzled right now, Kieran.
Okay. We're done. We've made it. We'll press the stop recording button, and you get to take a deep breath and relax until you have to record Wizards in a few hours.
That's a fucking cakewalk. Are you kidding me? That shit. Fucking kill him. Where's this let's do this little, where's the fucking thing, man? Oh, here it is. I think I would know. All right, we're gonna be back in 2 weeks, hot off of Dominion. Remember, follow Kieran at KieranRH93 on the Twitter machine, at Wrestling, at Wizards Podcast, at Fightful Overbooked. I don't know, I just made up a Twitter account for them. At Fightful.
Just at Fightful.
FightfulOverbooked.com. Rate, review, subscribe. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. That's it. Is this our 1 year anniversary show? I don't even fucking know anymore.
It could have been.
I would have had bad hair and everything. I gotta stop this. See you guys.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.